1,000 different names. When we look at all the titles and descriptions, all the languages in this earth, and when you came for all nations, for every person. And you did that because you're a God of love. You did that because you're a God that is intentional about your will, about your way. And that you've chosen us to share the splendor and the glory of your nature and character. Wow, it's awesome. And as we know you, we know we don't need to fear you. Oh, we need to revere you, but we don't need to fear you. That you are God that approaches us, seeks us, calls to us, and you desire to be the good shepherd for us. And Lord, how we could use a good shepherd. Lord, you know us. We are kind of like sheep. We at times go our own way. Sometimes we drift. Sometimes we walk away. Sometimes we just don't pay good enough attention. And we discovered we're more lost than we thought we'd ever get. You are a forgiving God. And all we have to do is confess to you that, oh, we've had it in neutral. We've been drifting. We've put it in reverse and gone our own way. But Lord, through your forgiveness and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, you enable us to get it in gear again and move forward along the path, the will that you have, the plan that you have for us. And we know that that plan isn't just a simple thing, always an easy thing. And we have to work at it being good when it's not good. Yet you tell us to be in relationship with you is to also, if we are to share in your glory, we must share in your suffering as well. We pray this morning for our world. Lord, it is true. If it's one thing, it's something else on the world scene. We're thankful for those who are loving and caring for their neighbor. Lord, where there is evil breaking out, we pray that you would boundary it, that you would protect the innocent. Lord, we pray for our own nation, those that have lost loved ones on a national scene. Lord, we pray also for those that have lost loved ones right around us. Lord, in worship, we want to come into your presence. We need this connection with you. So, Lord, whatever might be in the way of connecting with you, help us offer that to you. Set that aside. That we might reflect our desire to be fully devoted followers of yours. Lord, thank you for who you are in this moment, this time with you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn and greet those around you this morning. One of the great things about SCC is we have guests every week. So you might spy out somebody you don't know and say hi to them and greet them. It is great to have you with us physically today, as well as it's great to have those of you that are with us on live stream today. Those that are on site, I would encourage you to take the burgundy pad that you see and sign in and let us know that you are with us. We would love to get to know you as you get to know us. And that's a great way for us to start our relationship with one another. Yes, I will send you off a letter in the next week, but I pretty much can promise I won't be knocking at your door unless you invite me to do that. I'd love to come by. I have a few visitation opportunities in the next week that I'll be taking advantage of. And so I too want to get to know you as you get to know us as a church. What's on stage? I want to thank you. Rick and Andrea have been working with all of our world missionaries over the past week. Our denomination gathers all of our world missionaries together, and as you might know, Rick is actually in charge of the committee puts on this retreat for missionaries. And I want to thank you. The denomination covers some of it, but a big portion of their expenses to go and help lead this experience, it comes from what you give as you honor God here at the church. So I want to thank you for sending them. I got some great texts from some missionaries that have been with Andrea and Rick, and a few from the two of them, and it's been a very meaningful experience. You got a great dollar value out of your giving, let me just tell you that. We've got high school kids going to summer camp this week, so pray for the students and really pray for the leaders. I've done this a few times. About Wednesday, it all starts to get more serious, both just relationally between students, but also in terms of their relationship with God. And God does amazing things as we take high school, middle school, and elementary school students off to camp each summer. Speaking of camp, coming up August 22nd through the 26th is Mad Camp. Mad Camp is music, art, and drama camp. Oh, I don't sing. Oh, I'm not very dramatic. What do I'm not very good at art. When I draw, it looks like one of Christie's younger kids have been at work. Oh, does that mean I can't be a part of the volunteer team at Madden Camp? Not at all. We'd love to utilize you that week. We always need some people to just help things happen, to manage the students as they move from one thing to another. You may not be very musical, artistic, or dramatic, but I know you can help facilitate those that are as they interact with the students. It's a great experience to be around these creative students. I'd encourage you to look at your calendar, and hey, if you're in town the 22nd to the 26th, you ought to sign up. Summer will be next week here in Sequim, and so we'll get lots of plenty of sun. And the 26th, the 22nd, you'll need to be indoors a little bit. You know, you'll need some air conditioning, and we have that in all of our buildings, so you can come and be a part of what we're doing. Last thing I want you to know is that our regular children's midweek program. We call it EPIC. It's happening on Tuesday, and we'd love to involve your children, your grandchildren, in what we do that day. And that's about it. Jim Spriney, who is the chair of our personnel committee, is going to come and read our scripture passage. And then I understand Christy's bringing the thunder today.
Worship. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
My pleasure. You know, when I was reading this particular scripture, it reminded me of the reminders that each of us get from Pastor Scott and Pastor Rick about joining a small group, the value of being in a small group. And that's basically, to me, what the scripture was kind of, immediately when I was reading it, I thought about. I'll be reading from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Thank you, Jim. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Christy Godwin, and I am the Music and Worship Arts Director here at Squim Community Church. And it's a privilege for me to share with you this morning. I'm up here every Sunday, and, well, almost every Sunday, and I have learned this week that it's a lot easier to sing than it is to preach. So, bear with me, friends. But I do love stories, so I wanted to start by telling you a story. When I was a little girl, I went to Sunday school. My parents took me to Sunday school. And my favorite time was singing and worship time. And I have this memory, I was maybe 7 or 8, and it was singing worship time, and I was so excited and so enthusiastic, and I sang so loud, I think I was on the verge of yelling, and it made such an impression. I was just having a great time, like I was just so passionate. It made such an impression that my teacher called my mom the next week, and to encourage me and to encourage my mom, and she said, "Christy did such a good job singing worship this Sunday, and she's so passionate about worship, and I want you to share that with her." And so my mom did, and I remember having this epiphany as a little kid. I said to myself, "This is my calling. I'm a singer. I was made to worship." And that's true. And even if you haven't had that epiphany, maybe you haven't said to yourself, "Well, I'm called to be a singer," you are still called to worship. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Worship is a really big topic, as many of you probably know. And worship is a lot more than music. When I say we're going to talk about worship, you're thinking, okay, we're going to talk about singing together. And we are. But I just want to preface it with that. Worship is a huge topic, and you can learn so much. And I'm just skimming the surface this morning. So I like to break the word worship into two parts, the word worth and the word ship, because it kind of helps me understand the definition a little better. Merriam-Webster's definition of worship is to honor or show reverence for a divine or supernatural power. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 makes a strong statement about worship. It says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the Lord's return is drawing near." And so it's talking about worship here, saying, do not neglect worship. That's a strong statement. So why do we worship? We were all created to worship. This is an innate desire that God put in our hearts, and every person has the desire to worship, whether they realize it or not. We often misdirect our worship. We worship what we value most. This is a really interesting thing. Author and pastor Louis Giglio defines worship as our response to whatever we value most. So we all put value on something, and this is the most important decision of our life, right? Whatever we value most, this is going to define the whole of our lives. When we worship God, what we're doing is we're saying, we value you most, which is really important. We worship because God is worthy of our very best. I believe that the more we grow in knowledge of who God is, the easier it becomes for us to worship. Maybe you've been through an experience in your life where you've had to rely on God. Like that song we sang this morning, "Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley." I've walked through things in my life that have been difficult. And when I sing that song, I am drawing from the truth of, I know God is faithful. I know that I can lift him high in this valley because he's proven himself faithful to me. So as we know God more, I believe that helps us engage in worship. So some of you probably read the news and have seen that NASA just released photos of this incredible new telescope, the James Webb Telescope. It's amazing. These images, I mean, we've never seen this far into space before. And I was thinking about it. How incredible is it that our God is the creator, and he's been creating, and nobody sees it, nobody but him, just because he is so awesome and mighty, and the creation proclaims the glory of the creator. You can go to the next picture. There's a couple that are just amazing. I think it's cool that God is, this is a reason that we can worship God, because he is worthy of our worship. On a smaller scale, did you know that if you were to unravel all the DNA in your body and put each strand next to each other, and you made a really big, long strand, it would be 67 billion miles long. That's how intentional God was when he created each of us. And that's about the same as 150,000 trips around the moon, just in your DNA. So we have billions of reasons to worship God. And this is what we were made for, ultimately. We worship God because he commands it. In Matthew 25, 35 through 38, someone asked Jesus, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus said to him, "It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment." And really what he's talking about here is worship. Like, as we said, if this is what we value most, we're putting our treasure, we're putting our value, it needs to be on God. We worship because worship changes us. When we are worshiping together or by ourselves, we're reminded of who God is and who we are, right? Like those songs we sing, they're proclaiming who God is and reminding us of who we are in him. And that's why we have to have good theology in our worship. And that's my job, is to bring forth songs that are speaking good theology, because we're going to be singing them throughout the week, and we're going to be memorizing them. I love to hear my kids singing. As most of you know, I have 6 kids, ages 10 down to a 1-year-old. And at any given point in the day, you can probably hear at least one of them singing. And they're often singing worship songs because that's what they hear and that's what is going into their heart and going into their minds. So having good theology is important, and worship changes us. So why do we worship together? Hopefully none of you got here this morning and said, "Why am I here this morning?" Hopefully you know why you come to gather and worship. But this is an important point. Why do we gather as a community? Why is it important? Well, we gather because God commands us to gather. And worship is a heart issue. Before I go on, I just want to touch on this. A lot of times, maybe we think that worship, it's easier to worship to a song we like or the type of music style we're used to. But really, when we know God is worthy of our worship, music style doesn't matter. I'm not accustomed to hymns. Like, that's not the style I grew up with. But when I'm singing hymns, I know God is worthy. And so I can engage with worshiping him, no matter what style of worship. In our ministry, Music and Worship Arts, our team has created some values. And these values really fall under the big umbrella of SCC's core values. But I want to share them with you because I feel like they're relevant for us as well, for all of us. The first one is excellence. We believe God is worthy of our worship, right? He's worthy of our very best. And for us, that means giving him, producing excellence in all we do. So that's why we have a tech team who's working hard to be sure that this is an excellent experience for you. We have authenticity in our worship. That's our second value. We want to be genuine in our worship. And so when we're up here singing and we're raising hands, and when you're down there worshiping or however you choose to express your worship, it should be an authentic experience, right? And if you clap for us, I want you to clap for Jesus, because it's wonderful to worship him like that. Community is our third value. That's really going to be my point this morning, that worshiping in community is very important and very central to being the church. And our last value is devotion, because we are devoted followers to Jesus, and this is an act of devotion as we gather together and worship him. But community is the main reason that we gather. Most of you probably don't know this, but I am actually in school right now to get my master's degree. And last year, in the midst of COVID and everything had to be live streamed and people weren't gathering, or a lot of people weren't able to gather, my teacher posed a question to the class. And he said, "So do you believe that live stream is the new way of doing church? And does this fulfill the church's purpose as established in the Bible?" And that was a really good question, because I knew of people even in my class that were like, "Oh yeah, this is the future. We're going all live stream. Will we even need to gather?" Well, I think that live stream is a tool. Live stream is an incredible tool, and we're so blessed to have it. I have grandparents and family and friends and lots of people that are watching just on live stream because they can't gather with us. So it's a fantastic tool. But I believe that we still need each other. I think we still need each other in person, and we still need to be together as a church. And so that's what we're going to read. That's what Jim read this morning in Acts. And I'll give you a little background. We're going to read it again. But in Acts 2, Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has come, and there's some wild things happening. And so Peter gets up to explain to everyone watching what's going on. And Peter shares the gospel with them, basically. And he tells them this is because of Jesus. And verse 41 says that 3,000 people were saved that day. That's crazy. That's a huge amount of people. And so now you have 3,000 plus people who want to follow Jesus, but they're like, how? What are we going to do? And so this is what we see them doing. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles, the apostles performed many miracles, and the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money they had with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared meals together with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. So I really see four things happening in this passage. And Jim was right on when he said it's all about community. The first one is they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. They're like, okay, we're new at this. We need to learn from these men who followed Jesus. What was he like? What did he do? Tell us about Jesus. So they're learning. They committed themselves to fellowship, to meals. And those meals were actually oftentimes celebrating communion, remembering what Jesus had done for them. It was constantly in the front of their view that Jesus was their only hope. They worshiped together. This is what I find so inspiring. They gathered together for worship. And they also were devoted to giving and sharing together. Nobody had any needs, it says. So my question to you is, did something change? Did something change in the last 2,000 years or however many years? Now we're in 2022, and I think we don't need to gather anymore. No, that's not true at all. Have you ever been camping? Raise your hand if you've been camping. Oh, good, most of you. Yes, Pacific Northwest people. I like it. Yes, camping's a lot of fun. And one of my favorite things about camping is building a fire and roasting marshmallows and enjoying the heat, and the sun goes down and you're out there enjoying your fire. Well, you know, it's time to go to bed, and you don't have to pour water on your fire necessarily. You could just separate the coals. And when those coals are separated, your fire will die. You don't have to work hard at it. But if you want to stay a little longer and enjoy your fire a little more, all you have to do is keep gathering your coals together, and they are going to heat each other and keep your fire burning longer and longer. Add some more wood, you're good. Jesus said, we are to be the light of the world, and we need each other because we need to ignite and spark that flame in one another. It encourages us in our walk with God. And it informs our individual worship when we gather together. So worship is powerful. C.S. Lewis said, in the process of being worshiped, God communicates his presence to men. And that's something I would hope is happening every time you gather for worship. When you come into this place, you can sense the presence of God as we worship together. I love what Pastor Scott says. He says, this is why God made Sunday the first day of the week, because it sets the tone for everything else we do the rest of the week. We need to make Sunday the event of the week. But you know, that first church in Acts, it didn't take long before their gathering became difficult, right? We know that only a few years after the church was established, they started to experience persecution. They were being imprisoned, tortured, killed, and it cost something to gather. Now they were not enjoying the goodwill of all the people around them. This is a time in history, actually, where they invented the symbol, that Igthus fish. You might see it sometimes on cars. It's the Christian fish, basically. And what they used to do is, if you were meeting with someone and you didn't know if they were a believer, but you wanted to know, you would just draw a little half circle, and if they were a believer, they would draw the other side. And then you knew they were a safe person. They were part of the fellowship of believers. And they would also use it to mark different places to show, this is where the church is going to gather. Well, we're living in a time where it is getting more and more difficult to gather, right? We live in a conflicted and adversarial culture to Christianity. You don't need to look far. I mean, you can easily find it on social media. The church is not always popular. We live in a postmodern society, which is sad, but this is why it's more and more difficult for us to gather. And there are a lot of people that would say, I don't know why I need to be part of a church, right? I'm not going to lie. When I was younger, I might have even said that. Like, I pray, I read my Bible, I can worship by myself, and I have my friends, and they're Christian friends, so we can, like, talk about God, and that's all we need to do. Well, I would disagree. I would say that that is actually not what we find in the Bible. We need each other. We were always created to be in community. If you remember in Genesis, God says, let us create man in our image. And it's almost like you can picture it, right? Like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here they are in relationship with each other. And they don't need man, but they choose to invite him into relationship. Let us create man in our image. And man was created to be in relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. You know, we're born into families. We seek friendships. Nobody wants to be Tom Hanks on Castaway with that weird little volleyball friend, okay? I don't want you to be the church like that. We need each other. So, my last analogy here, as I was preparing for this message, I thought a lot about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. And that's where Paul is using the analogy of a body to represent the church. He says, you know, every part of the body, or every part of the church is like a part of the body. Well, think about this, and it's a little bit gruesome, but what if you have a detached hand, or a detached finger, or a detached foot? It's not healthy, it's not growing, it's severed, and it's dead. And this is exactly how we are when we're not attached to the body, when we're not connected, we're not growing. We need each other. We need to stay connected to community so we can grow. And I believe worship is a really key element in that. So I'll leave you with this. If God is worthy of our very best, then we need to commit to making Sunday the event of our week. We need each other now more than ever. Just like the coals on that fire, we need to ignite one another's faith as we worship together. Let's pray. God, you're so good. I thank you for bringing us into relationship with yourself. I thank you for establishing the church in the way you have established it. And I thank you for those who are part of this church and part of our live stream family. Lord, we want to worship you with all our hearts, and we want to grow into the people that you have always desired us to be. I pray that you would inspire us to draw close to you this morning, to love you more, to express our worship passionately, because you are worthy, God. We thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.